Hey everyone, welcome back to Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. My name is Kevin. Thank you for joining me. We've been going through a series through Genesis. We're just piling through some of the stories of Genesis. We've been starting with creation, and I'm here to tell you that we're continuing to memorize scripture as we go along. So this week's scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3. 16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3 has to do with all scripture being God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And 2 Timothy has to do with being accurately dividing the word of truth, being able to stand before God unashamed that we've done everything we could to find the truth and share that with others. And so those are the two scriptures we're going to concentrate on. It's very important as we learn information that we do it with gentleness so that we can share the truth with others. Because it even says when our enemies are wrong, having been led astray by the devil, we correct them with gentleness and reverence and leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Having brought them back from being captive from the devil's ways. So, as we share these things with people, we just always want to have on our heart that this is God's word. It's powerful. We can use it for all things, so that every person could be mature, complete in Christ. And the other thing we want to just focus on is just being accurate and being unashamed before God. And so, those are the two scriptures we're going to concentrate on. To get back, last session, I went over a young earth. Just talking about we're going through creation. And so today we talked about, or the last several, we talked about creation versus evolution. Then we talked about how creation 6 days and evolution is over time and creation has finished, where evolution, we're still evolving. And then showed you how those were two diametrically opposed. This week we are going over what it was like in the Garden of Eden at creation and up until the fallen man. And then up until the flood, what was it like? Those are important questions because the Bible says some pretty hard things. Man, it says lived over, Methuselah, 969 years old. Can that be trusted? And so we're going to look at some things today to see if we can trust that or not. So let's dive in together. Appreciate your time. So what was life like prior to the flood? So first of all, the earth. We went over the earth. The Bible says the earth was made in 6 days. Light, sun, earth, the heavens. You have angels, you have demons, Satan, people, large marine animals, land animals. But that would also include, would that also include dinosaurs? Would that also include giants? Would that also include all the things. Was everything made in those 6 days? I would say biblically, yes, it was. And that's plants, sun, everything. The interesting thing is that it says that there was water above the earth. We can look at some scriptures here that I'd like to go over. So in Genesis 1:7, Genesis 1:7, turn your Bibles with me. Genesis 1:7, it says, God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. So there was waters below, and there's waters above. What does that mean exactly? Psalm 148:4. Let's dive into this. Psalm 148:4. We have Psalm 148:4. Let's read this. It says, praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Interestingly enough, some scientists believe that there was a water layer around the earth, a water layer around the earth in the form of ice. And what they believe that this did was block the UV rays from the sun, and it also made a hyperbaric chamber within the earth. So what does that mean? Hyperbaric chamber within the earth. Let me read one more in Psalm 29:3. Psalm 29:3. I'm going to start at 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Why is that? The Lord is over many waters. Why is there saying water is above the heavens? Why did God have to divide the waters below and above the expanse? It's important that, so like I said, the scientists, some scientists believe that there was actually a water layer on the outside of the earth, or I'd say in the heavens of the earth, blocking those UV rays and causing that hyperbaric chamber system. And we know that when God made the earth, he says everything was good. Everything he made, he saw everything. Everything was good. These waters, the animals, the people, there was no sin. There was no shame. There was no destruction. There was no killing. So that's contrary to the evolutionary teaching that, hey, survival of the fittest, everything gets stronger. Everything that's stronger is going to live and everything else is going to die. That's not what was going on here in the Bible. The Bible says God made everything in 6 days. He looked at it and says that everything is very good. So let's go into this atmosphere, the hyperbaric chamber. A hyperbaric chamber, they're used today. We know someone down the road who their family member was involved in a car accident. They bought a hyperbaric chamber. And because why? It promotes more oxygen, improved circulation, wound healing, reduced inflammation, enhanced immune function. It's used to treat burns to brain injuries. It's been known to treat MS, cerebral palsy, autism, but it makes this greenhouse effect on the earth that affects all the plants, all the animals, everything in it. One of the most interesting things, not most interesting things, it's interesting to me. When I was a kid, I watched Jurassic Park, and we talked about how those movies made millions of dollars, Jurassic Park, by saying, hey, these dinosaurs are millions of years old, millions of, time back. The amber that that mosquito is in, that they have in the movie, they, take from it dinosaur DNA, and that's how they make their dinosaurs in the movie. But what they found out about those air bubbles is that those have actually 50% more oxygen. So those are dated back to the time of the dinosaurs, and then those have 50 more percent oxygen, which is interesting because you don't hear about that in the movie, from my recollection. So yes, just looking up Google on that, it says the analysis of the air bubbles trapped within fossilized amber, including amber-containing mosquitoes, show that the Earth's atmosphere during the, they say, Cretaceous period, around 67 million years ago, contained sufficiently higher levels of oxygen compared to today. Some studies suggest that oxygen levels were as high as 32 to 35%, according to Los Angeles Times. Today's atmosphere has now around 21% oxygen. The Brachiosaurus had the nostrils as the size of a horse. The Brachiosaurus is a huge, we use, like, think of Brontosaurus. It weighs 30 to 80 tons, and it has the nostrils the size of a horse. Now, a lot of this stuff I'm getting, you can look up on the internet. This is just from some of it's from Google. Some of it, some pastors have actually done some of this research before that I'm grabbing it from. But it's interesting when it does that. The Brachiosaurus has nostrils the size of a horse, but was 30 to 80 tons. So meaning that there's more oxygen back then for them to breathe. More, lizards will continue to grow. They will just continue to grow. So if there's more oxygen, some of these lizards could be very big, like a dinosaur. The Bible says that men like Methuselah live past 950 years old, or 969 years old. How is that even possible? But with that hyperbaric chamber system, more oxygen, improved circulation, it could be possible that these men live long lives. Another thing I want to consider is coal. See, in this earth, the hyperbaric chamber, there was many, many plants. And we know that because coal comes from plants. Now, the lies that are fed to people saying coal takes millions and millions of years to form. Well, they have found dolls in Nampa, Idaho, in coal. They found bells in coal. They found human tools in coal. It does not take millions and millions of years old to form. They have found human artifacts in this coal that they would say, hey, millions and even billions of years old to form. Coal forms under pressurized systems very quickly, catalytic situations, and plants. So one of the places they found plants in Montana, not one of the places they found plants, one of the places they found these coal beds, huge coal beds, 10,000 miles, 200 feet deep of coal in Montana. Huge amounts of coal, huge amounts of plants. In Antarctica, they're finding proof that there's tropical plants near Antarctica, showing that, hey, where is the it was not even cold back then. We had a tropical planet back then. So 250 miles from South Pole, they found tropical plants, huge amounts of plants that turned into coal, tropical plants near Antarctica. I want to go over some of these animals and insects. They found hornless rhinos that were 18 feet tall, fossils, these huge animals. Why? Because of more oxygen, more life, more time to grow. 18-foot rhinoceros, a lot of this stuff you can just Google and find. And yes, a lot of it will say, hey, we found these fossils and they're dated back millions of years old. But the point being, for this case, we've already talked about the time frames, but the point being that these animals, these humans, are a lot bigger than we can than we've been told. There's a fossil of a large scorpion found in China, about 4 inches long. Huge scorpion, nothing you want to roll up on you. 50-inch wingspan of a dragonfly found in Italy. Fossil. Cockroaches, 18 inches. Fossil of a centipede that was 8.5 feet. Fossil of a grasshopper, 2 feet long. Fossilized spider found in, I don't know how to pronounce this, Dahaoguo rock beds in China. It was known to eat small birds. That is a huge spider. Tarantula, the feet are 3 feet long. Fossil records indicate cattails 60 feet long. There's a 9 foot high fossil of a donkey in Lubbock, Texas, or they found one in Lubbock, Texas. Buffalo fossils, 12 foot span of horns. Deer antlers, 12 foot span. Kangaroo fossils, 10 feet tall. A goose as tall as an elephant in Australia. Beavers, 8 feet long. Ohio, there was a beaver found that was 6 feet long. Shark, 8 feet long due to the size of a tooth, the megalodon. It's funny how they come out with all these movies, the Meg, to make it sound like, well, it's unbelievable. Guess what? These things actually exist, a lot of them. Piranhas, four times the normal size, 3 feet long. Turtles that were huge. Oysters in mountains in Peru, 115 feet wide, 12,300 feet in the Andes Mountains. First of all, I have a couple questions about that. Why is a clam or an oyster up in the mountains? Secondly, how is it 115 feet wide? The pearl is 1 foot in radius. I bet many people would love to find that pearl. Birds, 13 feet tall, giant ants, 1.2 inches, a queen grebe, 2.8 inches. One found in Canada with 6-inch wingspan and weighed the same as a wren. Stories of giant birds in New Zealand that would prey upon small children. These animals are huge. They're growing because of this hyperbaric chamber system. More oxygen, more blood, more, this is why, Lance Armstrong, basically injects himself with a, I think it's called erythromycin to increase those red blood cells so he can perform better. This is why people go up to Mammoth in California so they can train better and get more oxygen and get more stamina and get all those things. It all promotes those things, healing and health. Those are all good things. And this is what our planet used to be like. And this is why there's plants in the, many places that we don't even realize. Siberia, Antarctica, plants everywhere. We used to live on a lush, or sorry, we live on a planet that used to be a lush field of animals and plants that would just grow and grow. Stories of giant birds, like I said, in New Zealand, preyed on small children. Same stories and legends worldwide and from American Indians. These birds that would prey on small kids. Giant armadillos that were hunted in Argentina, about 5.9 feet and weighing 660 pounds. I just came across another article. A big snake, 2,500-pound serpent with a 16-inch head in northern Colombia at 42 feet long. This thing was over a ton. Unheard of. How are these things getting so big? Some people go, well, that's just one off. But if you look at the fossil record and some of these fossils and the guys that write about it, the animals aren't different. They're just bigger. They're bigger and stronger. In Idaho, this gentleman just took down a record elk, 17 points between both sides. 17 points. If you look at a picture, this thing is it's massive. It's massive. And I would say back then, it probably was normal. But here it's the trophy animal. It's a state record. It's wherever you get it, it's one of the bigger ones. But in the Bible times, before the flood, the reason why I say before the flood is because what scientists do believe, and I'd say creation scientists in this point, they believe that that ice came during the flood and came down as rain, that the volcanic activity, because the world was shaking and moving because of flood, and the volcanic activity caused the ice sheet to melt and come rain down, and that then caused lower lifespans and a different type of atmosphere in our world. And I want to show some things to prove, not the scientific part of it, but some what people believe back in those times. And so some of the biblical information. I want to look at Numbers 13:23. This is when Moses sends out the 12 spies, one of them being Joshua and Caleb. And the 10 spies, or they all go out to spy out the land, the promised land to the Jews. And 10 of them come back and they have a bad report. But one of the things is when they came back and they talked about the giants and the people bigger and they're like the size of ants and grasshoppers, is they brought back grapes that took two men to carry. So let's read Numbers 13:23. Spies sent out to scout and come back with grapes that took two men to carry. It reads that they came to the valley of Eshcol and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. And so these guys had so many grapes. I don't know if they were so big or so many, but they needed two guys to carry this back because the fruit, the vegetables, the plants, the people, the animals were humongous and lush and produce much fruit and produce much energy when it came out. So in the next couple sessions, the next one we're going to go into some dinosaurs, and the next one after that we're going to talk about giants. But I want to read a couple things here that describe the long life of humans. One of them I've received from there's a gentleman that works for ICR. His name is Jay Herbert. He did a just a study on this, and he just talked about the guys living 900 years old. And the Jewish historian Josephus, who was not a Christian, he was Jewish, but he was a Roman historian, and there's all a story behind that. But he affirms in there that humans had enormous lifespans. He even lists several authors that agree to that. Now, some of these he listed: Egyptian historian Manetho, I don't know how to pronounce all these, but Manetho, or the Babylonian historian Berosus, and the Greek poet Hesiod. Even though these works have been lost, he cites them and affirms that all these people believed that these men had longer lifespans prior to the flood. So even though that the works are lost, the citation from Josephus shows that expanded lifetimes were common knowledge in the ancient world. So what the Bible says is before the flood, all these guys have long lives, 900 years, 800 years, 700 years. But when that flood came, that lifespan started to go down. Why? Because now we have the UV rays from the sun. And now the hyperbaric chamber, that water's gone. So yeah, since the water, the ice sheet's gone from around the earth, that UV ray is now hitting. And we don't have that hyperbaric chamber. The oxygen's starting to drop. And there's several different factors that cause those lifespans to go down. So this is not true just for extinct giants like the dinosaurs, but for creatures such as oysters, camels, kangaroos, penguins. The article quotes the Smithsonian Magazine saying they thought this huge tooth was that found that belonged to a cave bear. So the Smithsonian Institute, some scientists found this huge tooth, and they thought it was a cave bear's tooth. However, when it looked into it, they knew it was some kind of man. And they ended up saying that it's basically called, the type of person's called a Denisovan, which is a Neanderthal and Homo sapien interbreeding, but basically a human. That's not what they believe, Neanderthals and Homo sapiens are. They believe that those are sort of like caveman or lower class, but these are basically humans. They found out that this huge tooth was a human tooth. It wasn't a cave bear. So the other thing, lastly, we also have the Sumerian Kings List. It was in the 1900s. It was discovered, the discovery in Nippur, southern part of Iraq, part of the Sumerian Kingdom in 2100 BC. A copy of the list of kings that ruled that area and published in 1906 called the Sumerians Kings List. It goes with Genesis 5 more than it talks about their life, some of the lifespans more than 900 years old for some of the people. It supports the flood and the lifespans. The best copy starts out with the following: when kingship was lowered from heaven. It could be referring to Genesis 1, when it says God created man in his likeness and told him to rule over all creation. Then the list mentions eight kings who rule for a very long time. Genesis 5 mentions eight generations of men who live as long as Methuselah, 969 years old. In the middle of the list, it says the flood swept over the earth. Genesis 6 through 9, the flood came over the earth. Then the list picks back up, and the kings lived shorter lives than before. Genesis 10, men did not live as long on the list. They knew about the flood. So this not only confirms these two things, Josephus, the Sumerians Kings List, but then Josephus mentions Manetho from Egypt, Berossus from Babylon, and Hesiod from the Greek. So it was known around the world that men live with greater lives. There was a flood, and then the lives shortened, confirms what the Bible says. So thank you so much. I hope this you find this information helpful to help prove your Bible and to strengthen your faith. Remember, share the truth and love with someone today, this week. Thank you for joining me again. I love you all, and thank you for navigating this dark world with the lamp of God's word. My name is Kevin. I'm signing off.